Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
And welcome to Trolley Watch, New Idea Food's very fabulous podcast. I am, of course, joined by Barbara Northwood. Welcome, Barbara.
Hi, Amy.
What have you been doing this week?
Lots of cooking, lots of eating.
Lots of listening to Barry Gibb or, you know, the Bee Gees.
Yeah, those golden oldies. Love those golden oldies.
Do you have the Bee Gees playing in the test kitchen, don't you, Barb? Shaking your hips while you're
here at home, I do.
Cooking up a trifle.
Totally, totally, Amy.
I, of course, am Amy Sinclair. I'm the editor at New Idea Food, and this is your go-to podcast for all things food, shopping, and bargain hunting. This week, we have a great best in aisle coming up, but we also continuing on with our Christmas countdown this week, Barb, how to choose the perfect ham. This is very good advice. I never know what to choose. I'm looking forward to hearing your tips and tricks.
Sure.
I'm also looking forward to hearing your secret method for cleaning your microwave very, very quickly and easily. But let's start how we always like to start the episode, best in aisle.
Because it's the best in aisle.
Barb, this week we are looking spaghetti.
Yeah, a good old family favourite.
Now, this, of course, is where we get common supermarket items across all the supermarkets and we look at which version we think is the best. Get in the test kitchen, don't we, Barb?
Yes,
cook them all
sure
up.
Sure do.
Go through them time by, you know, taste by taste, and we work out what
Make
which one
notes
gets.
When we taste them. Yep, we sure
like
do.
Like a bit of a scientific process,
yeah,
isn't it, Barb?
Yeah.
This week we're looking at spaghettis. We tried five different varieties and we cooked them up with no sauce just to test which one we thought was the best.
Yes.
We covered a whole lot of price points and brands. We had Coles, Woolies, Aldi, Barilla and San Remo. So let's get cracking, Barb. First up, we had the Coles spaghetti, 500 grams for $1, made from 100% Australian durum wheat semolina. It's a product of Australia. What did you think of this one, Barb?
Very acceptable. It had pleasant taste. Probably great for the kids.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with it. Fine.
And good value, isn't
good
it, Barb?
Value.
$1. Love that. Next time we had the Woolworths spaghetti, 500 grams for $1, made from 100% durum wheat semolina, product of Australia. What did you think of this one, Barb?
It was really very similar to the Coles. There really wasn't much difference in it at all. Had good taste. Yeah, a great family recipe.
Just a nice, acceptable pasta.
Acceptable pasta, yep.
Next up, we had the Aldi Romano pasta, 500 grams for 65 cents. So this is a lot cheaper. Made from 100% durum wheat semolina, product of Australia. What did you think of this one, Barb?
It was lovely, really lovely.
Yeah?
Totally acceptable. Yeah, good one.
Nice big tick of approval there.
Yes.
We had next the Barilla spaghetti, pasta number 5 for $1.99. Made in Italy, durum wheat semolina. How did you feel about this one, Barb?
Look, this is also a good pasta. It was slightly lighter in colour to the difference. When you line them up,
it was different,
you could
wasn't
see
it?
That lighter colour.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fine.
And did
it
you think
fine.
That maybe that was because it was one that was made in Italy? That was maybe the difference?
The only difference. It could be the wheat.
Yes.
Yeah, between Australian wheat and Italian wheat.
And did you notice any difference in the taste, Barb?
No, not at all. Hmm. No.
Last, we had the San Remo spaghetti number 5, 500 grams for $1.95. Mm-hmm. Made in Australia from 100% Aussie ingredients, durum wheat semolina. What did you think of this one, Barb?
Also a good tasting pasta. It was good for hot dishes, cold dishes. I can imagine nice pasta salad with it. Totally acceptable.
So there's not much separating these, aren't they, Barb?
There wasn't. That was the interesting thing. There really wasn't. And I went back and did second tastings just to make sure.
Because often with these, we look at them and they all look the same and we think they're the same.
Yes.
But there's often really big changes. But this is one of our first taste tests where you really couldn't tell it. So
yes.
It's kind of what's available, what's cheapest. What do you think, Barb?
And for best value, got to be Aldi.
Yeah.
The Aldi, yeah, Romano spaghetti.
It's a lot
65
cheaper.
65 cents is fantastic.
Fantastic
500
value.
Grams, really good value. Yeah.
You can feed a family for very cheap with that, can't you, Barb?
That's incredible though, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Under a dollar, you.
So the golden trolley, Barb?
Definitely Aldi.
Love it. Next up, Barb, we're talking Christmas. You sing me a Christmas carol, Barb?
Oh, Amy, I can't. I don't really know any.
Oh, come on, Barb. I'm kidding. Barb, this week we are talking, we've got a few weeks counting down to Christmas. One of the big things that people are buying when it comes to Christmas is a Christmas ham. Mm. You look at them in the supermarket, it's very hard to know which one is better, which one's going to have the better taste, yes, which one's going to have good flavour.
Plus, they're an expensive item.
Really
expensive. You can pay up to $80. So you really want to get a good tasting one rather than...
You want to do your homework so you're not left with a dud. Yes. Am I right, Barb?
Yes, totally, totally.
Barb, talk me through what your top tips for choosing a Christmas ham are.
You've got to look for a natural meaty texture because they will always have a... Unless it's a complete full leg ham, usually they're half.
But if you've got a half leg, you can look inside on the side and you can see
And you avoid those wet and rubbery ones. Some get a very wet surface. We want to avoid those. You need to choose a ham with a good smoky flavour. Actually ask if the butcher, can you taste it?
Really?
Yep.
So a lot of them will.
Can you taste it? They will let you. Yes.
That's a pretty good idea, isn't it?
Because otherwise it's like cheese. How do you want to just taste it a little bit before you buy it. And some are very smoky.
Yeah.
And again, $80 worth of very smoky is not good either. Also look for smooth, even skin and even colouring. If the knuckle is sunken, it's overcooked. Ooh. If the rind is buckled or uneven, it's a sign of dryness.
And they're two things you definitely want to...
Yeah, you can. And because a lot of them have the mesh or cryovac, you can see through that skin to see you you're actually going to get.
So we're looking for smooth skin.
Yep.
Nice and even. And even colouring. And we don't want those knuckles sunken.
Sunken, no. And hams between 10 to 12 kilos are most likely to have the best flavour and texture due to the age of the pig.
Right.
Because, again, you want that a nice ham flavour, don't you?
You don't want it to be too
mild.
Yeah.
Good one. And for best results, always opt for fresh Australian pork rather than the hams made in Australia from frozen imported meat.
It's important to look in the because you just think, don't you? Oh, it'll be fine. It's a ham. It's good. But we know this from recent years that the Australian ham is definitely a lot better.
Yeah, exactly. And good to support the farmers.
Absolutely. Let's go Australian farm ham this Christmas. Love it, Barb.
Happy.
Thank you. Next up, we're talking about a very common ingredient that I think every single kitchen in Australia would have right now. It's a simple ingredient that can make you breakfast, lunch and dinner. It can lead you to a savoury dinner, a dessert. There are just the possibilities are endless. But we, of course, are talking, Barb, about the common egg.
Yeah, don't you love eggs, though?
I love eggs.
Anyway, I love them.
Could have them any which way.
So could I.
They're so yum. But there are some very important tips to follow with eggs, aren't there? And a lot of old wives' tales.
Yes.
Where you store them, how you know whether they're a bit, how's your father, whether they're good to go.
Because they're one of those things, if you don't use a lot of them, they can sit at the fridge, in the back of the fridge for a couple of weeks or a month or two. Then you think, gee, what are they? Oh, they're those eggs.
And you don't really know. No, have you ever cracked one that's been bad?
I certainly have. Ooh. Yes. I think we probably all have.
It's worse after a bad curry.
Well, the best way to check if your eggs are fresh or not is to place an egg in a glass of water.
Really?
Yep.
What happens, so, Bob?
The fresh egg stays at the bottom of the glass while a stale egg floats. This is because of the large air cell that forms in the blunt end of the egg. And as it ages, that little sac gets larger and larger and larger. So it's very buoyant.
The float test, Bob.
The float test. And also that's a good way to test sometimes if they've been boiled or not.
Because sometimes you can't tell, can you, Bob?
No. We've got a great tip for testing. To tell if the egg is raw, you can spin it. Have you ever done that?
No.
Put it on the bench and spin it. If it spins easily, it's hard boiled. But if it wobbles, it's raw.
I've never even thought of that.
But a good hard boil will really give it a spin.
If you juggle it too, that'll tell you.
I haven't tried that one, no.
You throw it at the wall.
Yes.
Also, never buy eggs that are cracked as the shell is the protective barrier from bacteria. And honestly, sometimes you get home and you think they're fine. I always open the lid and check. And when you go to get it out, it's stuck in there because it's probably cracked at the bottom.
Barb, I have to tell you, I can't remember the last time I bought a carton of eggs that didn't have one that was stuck.
I think it's mandatory now, isn't it, almost?
It's almost like, you know.
Annoying.
It really is annoying. Mm. And it's every single time. And even when you carry them like a newborn child, you know.
They've probably got kids packing them, I feel, sometimes. They're not treated beautifully. Yeah. And lastly, always store them in the cart, in the fridge, and never at room temperature, because people do tend to want to leave things. They're good if you're baking.
Yeah.
Definitely. Get out, you know, an hour or two before you're going to cook for it. If it's that day, it's fine, but please don't leave them out. They've really got to be stored in the fridge.
Well, the other interesting thing is in the fridge, I mean, not so much the new fridges, but certainly, you know, and a lot of us have an older fridge. They have. They used to have the plastic compartments with the egg racks.
Yes.
But now they advise not to use that,
don't
they,
because the shell's porous and it'll absorb flavours and odours out of the fridge. And also, as I said, it's just aging them because it is porous.
So even if you have one of those racks,
don't use it. No.
Keep it in the carton.
Definitely, yes, it's the best way. And when you get to that egg and you know it's stuck in, I cut around it and throw the little cardboardy bit, it's, you know, the carton it's stuck to, throw the whole thing out.
When you're buying eggs at the supermarket, Barb, is that when you open it up, is there anything you can look for to look for a good batch?
Well, I guess really it's a good even texture.
Yeah.
So no cracks. Some of them will have a bit of, what can I say, if you know, they're organic, they can have dirt on them.
Bit of grit on
feather
them.
Or grit.
Yep.
You've really got to wash them before you crack them, because that big bacteria, even on the shell, can get into the food. So if they're organic and from the farm yourself, you should really wash them before you use them. Yeah.
And we have had a few egg recalls this year because of salmonella and, you know, some contaminated hens. I think they're out of Victoria, but... you know, we have had problems, so it is something to keep keep an eye on.
Absolutely, and look at the use-by date. And if it's really past that use-by date, I'd throw them out.
It's not worth the risk,
it's
is
not.
It, Barb?
No.
No one wants
And they don't make good omelettes, and you can't poach a stale egg. It just breaks everywhere in the water. You
and
will not poach it.
Nothing worse than having your mix all ready to go and whacking in an egg and it's
all floating in water.
Egg facts with Barb. I could not love it more. Thanks, Barb.
Thanks, Amy.
Barb, next up, we love doing a kitchen cleaning hack.
Yes.
On New Idea Food, don't we?
Yep, sure do. Love
There's
a good hack.
There's nothing better than having a simple trick or an idea to take a very messy job.
Yes.
And make it very easy, isn't it?
Yes.
This one's a cracker, Barb, and this one is one you've been doing for years, isn't it?
Sure.
How to clean your microwave in literally minutes with no harsh chemicals, because that's one thing that I hate using in my kitchen.
Yes.
I don't like having it on my skin. I don't like smelling it. I feel like when I'm using harsh chemicals in the kitchen, it just lingers around.
I agree with you.
I hate using it, especially in the oven. I feel like it just stays forever. And when I cook, I feel like it
permeates even more, doesn't it?
Yeah, you feel like it's awful.
And particularly even in a microwave, because if you're steaming something and all those chemicals on the side that you haven't wiped off are all going into your food.
It just makes sense, doesn't it? And it's very difficult. So any cleaning trick that doesn't involve harsh chemicals always makes my ears prick up. So I'm very interested in this one, Barb. It's how to clean your microwave the Barb Northwood way. Barb, talk us through it.
Well, this is one of the easiest. You place 2 cups of tap water into a heat-proof microwave-safe jug. Add 2 tablespoons of fresh squeezed lemon juice, because some people use those little lemons and oranges you get at the supermarket, the little plastic bottles, but you need them to be the fresh,
fresh
one, and a teaspoon vanilla essence. Just the cheap essence goes into it. Place that in the centre of the microwave oven. Cook it on high power, about 100%, for 5 minutes or until that steam is really in the oven. Look through the little glass door and you'll see it.
See it bubbling away,
water.
Barb.
Yeah.
Like it's a little sauna in there.
Absolutely. And then you carefully remove the little jug, wipe the cavity clean with dry absorbent kitchen paper, and then I'd remove the turntable and wash that in warm soapy water, dry it thoroughly before I return it. And, of course, never use scourers, because they do scratch the glass and the surface. My husband's been notorious. I don't know why, and it's probably not just him. People, when they dribble things on the turntable, tend to leave it. You would probably do it in your oven.
It's just gross, isn't it, Barb?
He hasn't learned, please cover things when you microwave. They'll boil over anyway. So when I go home, I'm often cleaning out that microwave.
It's like a crusty sort of underlay
Yes. And that steam just wipes everything off. It's so easy.
And it's
honestly,
stinks.
It's easy. It's a breeze.
So, Barb, tell me how this works. What is it, the lemon, the essence? How does
it work? The lemon gives it really good, a beautiful smell.
Right.
And that's what you want, that lovely clean smell, not the last cabbage or soup, when you open it, it's got the fumes of what whoever popcorn. Cooked the last thing is then
the
there.
The burnt popcorn, even burnt popcorn that's just nasty.
So the lemon gives it a really beautiful smell throughout.
But basically the steam lifts all the grime off and all the gunk.
Yes. Amazing. So easily. Because if you're there with hot water, you'll be there for quite a while. Because as you say, it's stuck on.
It's hard to get into. Like especially when they're...
corners.
My microwave is actually set into the wall and is quite high up. And it's a bit of a bugger to clean. I'm not going to lie, Barb.
Get that water in there, Amy, and it's a breeze. Little stepladder.
I love
just
this.
You.
You've got your stepladder from your pantry, don't you, Barb?
I do, actually. How did you know, Amy? I actually do.
You've told me, Barb. You've told me. I know. I feel like I could draw your kitchen, your freezer and your fridge from here on in. It's like Woolworths with a little stepladder everywhere. Barb, I'm off to clean my microwave. I love it. I love it.
Good on you, Amy.
Barb, last segment of the day and one of my favourites, the time I tried to make ... This, of course, is our kitchen disaster stories. I love hearing Barb tell me about her disasters because you are a master in the kitchen, Barb, but it just shows that we all have bad days at the oven. Is that right?
Look, we do and we do, and this is a really authentic sad story.
Well, we're doing Christmas this year, aren't we, this week, Barb? We're talking Christmas disaster stories, and I can't think of a worse time of year to have a Christmas disaster story, cooking story, because there's a lot of people counting on Christmas food, isn't there, Barb?
Totally, totally, Amy.
Talk me through your horror story.
My horror story was doing a boiled Christmas pudding in a cloth, and I'd put the flour on the cloth and got the... all the fruit in, tied knot on, beautiful, kind of massage, just like a baby's bottom. That's lovely, round. I thought, this is a really good pudding.
It's like Liam Hemsworth's bum, isn't it, Barb? Giving it a good old knead.
But I got it into that pot and water's boiling, I thought, except the gas went off. And then by the time I had come back to it to have another look, the water had seeped in.
It was like just a big old pile of sludge.
It was sludge. I opened and it just ran everywhere.
Oh, how heartbreaking.
It's seriously, because it already cooked for like an hour or something.
And there's a lot of effort that goes into a pudding, isn't there, Barb?
And that's the only thing, I guess, with gas, because it can go out. It's almost, you need an electric hot plate to do the pudding. Well, because it wasn't good off the gas one.
Well, Barb, my story is not very different to that because it does involve a heating disaster as well. And this one's courtesy of my dad, Dave.
Yes.
Now, we have Christmas every year at my parents' house. Di and Dave put it on. My mum is an amazing cook, but she has a problem every year with oven space.
Yes.
Because, you know, when you're cooking...
I think we all do. Yeah, when you're
cooking for a big crowd...
Yes.
I once used the neighbour's... I was doing a pre-Christmas fun. I used the neighbour's oven as well because I couldn't fit everything in. Especially if you're doing like, you know...
It can be a real... And they've got different temperatures.
Everything's got different temperatures.
That needs moderate. Oh.
She now has a new oven that has all different ovens in there with all different controls, which is all very fancy. But we traditionally do our turkey... in the Weber,
yes,
to basically save on, and also
they're really good in the Weber though.
Yeah, they are, and we've always had a really good result. And you know, my dad is he's a Weber connoisseur. Yes. Like he does all the research and he really enjoys it. But this was a bit of a problem one year, Barb, because we had the turkey in the Weber. We got it all ready. We always have our turkey on Christmas evening. Mm. We have it for dinner. We put the Weber on, we had it in the afternoon, and as you do, Barb, we've had our seafood lunch, we've all had a bit of wine or a bit of champagne, you put your turkey on and then you might have a bit of a nap. It's a common thing. You've been up since 3 a.m. with the kids.
Santa's been.
And one year Dave's put on the turkey, we've all had a bit of a nap, we've woken up, we're busy doing all the sides, we've got everything else into the oven in the house. Let's go out and check the turkey. And it had gone out some hours before. And it wasn't even a little bit cooked. It was as raw as you like.
Oh, no.
And it had been sitting out on the back deck in, you know, Christmas 40-degree weather, not cooking for a good 3 hours. We didn't have turkey that year, darling.
No, you couldn't.
And my mum was not very happy. I
had
sides,
had salads.
We did. Leftover ham from lunch. And but she's a stickler, you know. We have the very, you know, it's a traditional lunch. We have the same thing, the traditional dinner.
Love
and
tradition.
She was very upset. So now let's just say when we have turkey bar, we definitely check it every 14 minutes. And poor old Dave hasn't lived that one down either.
I bet.
Poor old bloke. That's another episode all wrapped up. Thank you, Barb.
Pleasure, Amy.
We are going to be back next week with another great episode. Don't forget to come and say hi to us on the New Idea Food Facebook page and at Foodiful. You can always check us out at newideafood.com.au. Don't forget to subscribe to us, Barb, where you find all good podcasts, and always leave a review because we'd love to hear what you have to say. Barb, we'll see you next week.
See you next week, Amy.
Bye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.